Hello, Screeters. Yes, it's crazy. It's a double extra episode on Sunday. I don't even know what that means. I guess it just means that I'm doing two episodes today. I did two episodes yesterday. This hour and a half drive is sweet. Yes, I've driven over 300 miles in 2 days and sat through 16 hours of class. Yay, fantastic for me. Regardless, today is September 9th, 2018. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey, Jason, it's Colin. Yeah, on the subject of grim and gritty, I reckon the Wizards should have a look at bringing back their Dark Sun setting. I know there's a lot of 5e players that played it back in the day, and there's quite a lot of a big old following and people that are keen to see it come back. I reckon if you brought that back, there'd be a good few more TPKs knocking around as well. I personally never played it back in the day, because when it came out, I don't think my funds could have stretched to buy the box set. So I don't know if that was second edition or first edition AD&D, something like that. But yeah, grim and gritty Dark Sun. Bring it on.
There he was, my man Elmer. His name's not really Elmer. It's Colin, a.k.a. Spike Pitt, a.k.a. Elmer, the glue of the OSR Anchorites. Yeah, man. Maybe that's one of the reasons they haven't done it, because it doesn't fit in with their whimsical nature of the current concept of what 5th edition should be and the consumers that are in their demographic, which is trying to get young people into D&D, which we should all be happy for. Like Jesse, a.k.a. Doc Palindrome, was saying in an episode he put out, I don't know how long ago, I just listened to it today, but he was saying the concept of change is inevitable and we should embrace it for increasing our hobby's niche is only good for our hobby. So, patches, when you get fired up about new people glomming onto OSR and only being temporary OSR fans and being mad about it and saying they're not really OSR fans, I don't agree with you. And that's why I always say, no, man, I don't ever want to be a gatekeeper. I want to be a keymaster. Because I want to get with the gatekeeper. No, not really. It's because I had a character in Champions named Keymaster. No, that's not why either. Really, the reason is because I want to be inclusive to people and not exclusive. I always want to be welcoming to people. I always want to bring people into the hobby in a positive manner and, you know, get them excited about it and try and make it the best game it could be, as opposed to purposely or non-purposely, self-consciously or consciously not excluding them, but like I say, including them. I want them to have a good experience, so I want it to be great and fantastic. Another interesting idea I have for you, Colin. So you say Dark Sun isn't really grim dark. What would be grim dark? Would that be Planescape? Or because of the goofy way they talked, it's not really dark. I don't know. So if Dark Sun is grim and gritty, it's not dark because, I mean, there's a lot of sun in Planescape, right? And there's a lot of sand, so it's definitely gritty. But I don't think that's what you meant. But isn't the language cool in how we can accidentally make puns? I think it's cool. Planescape is cool, and I think you could take the whimsy out of 5e, and I don't really know if I said this well, but we got pretty messed up in an encounter in the monastery in just north of Cleft, and apparently these juiced up goblins are using the spit from some kind of dragon, an ale dragon, a grog dragon, a neo-grog dragon, I don't know, some kind of dragon, and they're making brew out of it, which makes them crazy, but also jacks them up like steroids. I don't know, it was an interesting idea, And in some ways, it's kind of whimsical because, you know, the goblins are being goblin-y and acting kind of goofy, but they had no problem trying to kill us. So in that game, well, maybe this will just be the next segment. Anyway, thanks for calling in, Colin. My man, Elmer, Mr. Green, Jeans. I'm a little whimsical today. So I threatened earlier to talk about what to do with a game when there's a TPK or near TPK. And I was talking about a 5e game in the Whisper and Venom setting by Lesser Gnome, ran by Edwin. So in the game, we basically attacked this. Well, we didn't know we were attacking it, but we figured it out. There was a monastery that a group of jacked up goblins are inhabiting, and they're making some crazy kind of drink born from a dragon, and it is messing people up back in Cleft. And we decided to recon and head in, and my character, being a scout, split off from the others, and all of us got knocked out. We've succeeded in our death saves, so we weren't dead, but all of us were unconscious, some of us by different means. So some kind of wyvern or ale dragon type creature took my character down, Desmond, but I made my death save, so I came to on my own. But I was separate from the others. When they came to, they were captured and then basically got freed by a crazy gnome in Cleft who was trying to buy drink from these goblins. But my character wasn't with them. So the GM, Edwin, decided to have us do things separately. And I played my character and did things particular to his background, flaws, bonds, ideals. And that eventually pushed him into getting away from the other characters. And I didn't even play in the last session because they followed their backgrounds, ideals, bonds, and went looking for Desmond. They looked in the wrong spot. So the game got shifted around. But the real question comes back to, should we have just been dead? What should the GM have done with those characters? It always comes down to really what's up with the group. I don't have a specific session zero, and Jose and the Hoff would make fun of me for even talking about a session zero for our games. What they don't necessarily realize is a lot of the session zero for our games is done through a hangout or Discord or something before the game even happens. Emails, whatever. There's a lot of understood stuff. Like we'll say, hey, I'm going to use the same house rules Hoffman used for the Keep on the Borderlands West Marches game. All right, cool. Well, that is session zero talk right there. Edwin and I talked about what this game was going to consist of and what we wanted to do. Session zero stuff. We didn't have an official session zero. And a lot of times I don't, but the session zero stuff gets covered in a hangout or on email or on text if it's like the GRGA. So if you are a grognard or a neo-grognard and the idea of a session zero is humorous to you, I refute that because I'm pretty sure you're doing a session zero, but just not in that fashion. Like Brett from Gaming and BS says, the session zero, or even Mike from the Academy RPG podcast, I can't remember what his name is, Mike something, and he runs Acadacon in Cincinnati, and he always says that session zero happens anytime. Just because you call it session zero doesn't mean you can't have it later. And basically it entails that communication that happens between GMs and players and make sure everyone's on the same page with the meta of the game. And I really feel like communication is always the key in almost any type of social engagement, be it with your wife, be it with your kids, be it with your gaming group. No matter what, the best way to succeed and have the best possible social interaction is communication. So keep on communicating, brothers. Unfortunately, in our niche, historically, it's done by people who are socially awkward. And so sometimes that communication can be more difficult. But we can also use it as a learning experience to help give or gain those social engagement skills. So that's why D&D, or another reason why playing D&D or role-playing games can help people. So they're pretty awesome, right? But I'm not going into that. Another example of a near TPK would have been our Call of Cthulhu game that I've mentioned in the past, where all the characters did engage the end game according to the module, but we didn't really want the game to end. And so it's similar to that game. The GM contrived a reason that our characters weren't dead, and that was that. Another example of what you can do in a TPK, near TPK situation was an Astonishing Swordsman and Sorcerers of Hyperborea game I was playing with Adam Mouskowitz, which really isn't his last name, it's Miskevich, who was a co-host with Don Stroud of Drink Spin Run, and a pretty awesome guy, fairly responsible for the Metal Gods of Ur-Hadad DCC zine and just the concept of the Metal Gods of Ur-Hadad. Anyway, Adam was running an Astonishing Swordsman and Sorcerers of Hyperborea campaign, and all of our characters died. But especially in an OSR game, it's usually player knowledge, not character knowledge, and player skill, not character skill, that pushes the envelope of the game. And we as players were not successful in the Rats in the Walls adventure. So I proposed we all made other characters that happened to be crew on the ship that our campaign group were from. And they had heard information about finding this treasure that our last characters had found, and basically proposed in the way that, hey, we'll go and try and figure out what that treasure was. And in the process, we may find out what happened to our characters. So the campaign didn't end, even though a TPK removed all the current characters. We could still keep the campaign going with an interesting aspect of continuity. And that was cool. That was interesting. That was neat. In the past, I have played in campaigns where all the characters were halflings. I wasn't playing. I was running that game and they all died. And so the campaign just kind of ended. It kind of comes down with communicating with your players what they want to do, you know. I did run a game system campaign that most of the characters were killed, enough of them that it was might as well have been a TPK because of where they were. And basically we all agreed, because I did not really give the characters the information that they need in order to have the proper use of player agency, it was kind of, in a way, killing them. So that's kind of weird, but I gave them an alternative end game, and then the campaign can continue with the same characters. I do it sometimes. I don't do it all the time, especially in a game like Kalmata. Very rarely am I ever going to TPK or near TPK the group and allow that TPK to be overridden in some way. Very rarely am I ever going to do that, because it's the system is a West March's system. It's built for the players to have multiple characters. It's not a serial campaign that we're going through that, you know, the information would be lost and all the work would be lost if all the characters died in a TPK. So basically what I'm trying to say is there are some interesting ways to deal with TPKs or near TPKs depending on the type of game you're running, depending on the communication of the social engagement at session zero and after session zero. It's very likely that in session zero you didn't talk about what happens if there's a TPK. And sometimes you're not going to know what you want to do until that situation arises. So I guess all I really wanted to do is talk about that. It was a really cool conversation topic that Tim Shorts from Gothridge Manor had. If you're not listening to Tim, you should be. If you're not listening to Colin, you should be. If you're not listening to Rocks Fall, Everybody Dies, it's because he doesn't have a podcast yet. Haha, gotcha. You always got to be paying attention when I'm talking, and this is why you can't do my show at 1.5, Jesse, a.k.a. Doc Palindrome. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this 4 podcasts in 2 days. I probably won't do it very often, but I did it this time and I really enjoyed it. So thanks, and it's better to burn out than to fade away.